Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What exactly is Arch Manning's ceiling, and why does it feel unreachable? Who are the top 10 current college football coaches now that there is no Nick Saban? And my goodness, Ohio State got them one of them ones. Let's go. It's the number one college football show. What's up, kid folks? Welcome to the number one college football show. I am your host, RJ Young. Thank you for watching on the Fox Sports app, YouTube, or listening wherever you get your podcast. Today on the show, we got to talk about Arch Manning in comparison to some of the other great future quarterbacks in college football and why his ceiling seems to be limitless and both and unreachable all at the same time. I want to talk about my top 10 current college football coaches in the CFP era. But first, the long-running saga that has been who is the next running back coach at Ohio State is over. They hired former Oregon running backs coach Carlos Lachlan as their running backs coach. And my thought here is Lachlan locked in is exactly what that kind of no-nonsense kind of running backs coach that that room needs. He is Memphis Southern son of a gun like you read about. And he's going to speak to the fan base, speak to what you want. He is not the kind of man to be trifled with. Now, I'm going to get into this because I think Ohio State fans will feel this. They have thought this team was soft for the better part of 3 years. So much so that Ryan Day went at Lou Holtz's neck on a national broadcast after beating Notre Dame because he was feeling it. And Ryan Day has operated in this offseason like he does not want to take any prisoners. They have gone into the portal and been aggressive. They come out with Caleb Downs. They come out with Quinshon Judkins. They add Jeremiah Smith to the recruiting class. They go get three quarterbacks that could start for them on top of Devin Brown. And then when Tony Alford shocks them by going to that team up north in Michigan, they go to Oregon and they go get a guy that helped develop Bucky Irving, Noah Whittington, and Jordan James. But more than that, they got a dude who knows exactly what it is that Ohio State fans want to hear. So I posted this clip from Duck Digest about one Carlos Lachlan. He's interviewing, and he's talking about what he's about. And the money quote is, if you're a soft batch cookie, you got to get away from around me. And they got that bakery for that. Guess what it's called? The transfer portal. Dog, the old heads feel so good about this man who got arms like Bobby Lashley. They feel so good about this man who looked like Tookie after 7 years in. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? They feel so good about a man who, quite honestly, is like them. Like, they don't make nothing but hard-knuckled, coffin-nail bangers coming out of Memphis. And that man was a walk-on coach at the University of Memphis when Mike Norvell was head coach. Let me tell you about one, Carlos Lachlan. One of the reasons that I like him. Number one, he throw up the hooks. Some of y'all know what that means. Some of y'all don't know what that means. But for those of y'all know what that means, yeah, his gold boots got that brown on him because he be putting it up there. You know what I'm saying? All right, add this. He would show up to meetings fresh off of work wearing a bulletproof jacket. Why would my man need a bulletproof vest on when he's showing up to work? Because that dude was working as a correctional officer in the state of Tennessee. You understand what I'm saying? There ain't nothing that these children going to be able to do or say to him that's going to get under his skin. If anything, it's going to be him putting the fear of God into people. You know what I'm saying? And for this group of athletes, for those of us that deal with kids, no longer saying where am I going to play, but how much am I going to get paid? This ain't him. That ain't what he's doing. And you know what? That is what Ryan Day wants to personify. He wants it running through a running back's room that is filled with talent, right? We know who Quinshon Judkins is. We know who Travion Henderson is. We know what Dallin Hayden can be, right? We know who James People could be about. But what you need is somebody who's going to crack a whip in there and tell everybody, look, I'm not giving you a damn thing. Go out here and get it. Go earn it. Any role you get as the running back at Ohio State to start is going to be one you won in spring and one you won in the summer and one you won in preseason and one you held on to throughout the season. Again, I love this. Dead ass. Love it. Couldn't love it more because I know what kind of man Carlos Lachlan is and I know what kind of trajectory that the Ohio State Buckeyes are on. But what does this actually mean for Ohio State, right? That they got to do that cultivates and develops running backs, okay? I mentioned the guys that he had in the room, but it's worth pointing out, Oregon ranked sixth in the country last year in yards per carry at 5.52 per game, right? 2022, they averaged damn near six, 5.91. He was running back coach both of those years. And then you take into account guys like Bucky Urban had 1,000 yards rushing in 2022, 1,100 yards rushing in 2023. We know that Noah Whittington coming over from Western Kentucky was a boon for them. And Jordan James is set up to be the bell cow back at Oregon as they come into their first season of Big Ten play, which leads me to what does this mean for Oregon? It means that you trail Ohio State already before you got to play them on October 24th. That's what it means. They went into your cookie pantry and came out with Joe cookies. You got a lot of money over there at Oregon. But you know what you ain't got over at Oregon? The pedigree that Ohio State has, the tradition that Ohio State has. It speaks to me that a man like Carlos Lachlan, who got it up out the mud, Memphis, Florida State, West Kentucky, Oregon, saw the job opening at Ohio State and said, I will make that lateral move to some, but not a lateral move to him. Because you could either take the surface level view of this, which is he believes that Ohio State is closer to winning a national championship than Oregon. Fair, right? Not out of the question, being that Ohio State was playing in the national championship game 3 years ago, right? But you also add in here, Ohio State wants it like nobody else wants it. And you get to see that by the money that they're willing to spend in name, image, and likeness. And the way that dudes don't really enter the portal and you miss them at Ohio State. They lost Jameson Williams to Alabama. Remember that? You know what they responded with? Marvin Harrison Jr. You get what I'm saying here? Carnell Tate, Jeremiah Smith, they out there with Brandon Ennis. Right? And I mentioned that running back room. But that's just what it is. The state could not be higher for Ryan Day. We know this. We know that it ain't going to matter what they did up until November 30th if they don't beat Michigan in Columbus this year. We know that Ohio State fans have had it up to here with how talented they are and what championships they think they should have won. Matter of fact, this is still a fan base to think that Urban Meyer didn't do enough winning just the one national championship with the talent that he had on, because you're going to get dudes at Ohio State. You're going to get them. We know this. But are you going to win every game you play and never lose to Michigan? Because that's the job, right? I think that Carlos Lachlan is going to do a whole hell of a lot to help Ryan Day and Chip Kelly and Jim Knowles do exactly that. Again, thrilled about this hire, really excited for what it could be, but Oregon got a running back coach that they got to replace now, which for me is, I'm making it real simple. If Mike Hart is available, go get Mike Hart. Hey, look, number one, develop Blake Corum, Donovan Edwards. Number two, he unemployed right now. Number three, do you think there's anybody that wants to beat up on Ohio State and Michigan more than that man right now? Knowing what he's capable of developing, knowing what his pedigree was at the University of Michigan, knowing what he knows about not just coaching at Michigan, but at Indiana and the Big Ten, Dan Lanning, he in it to win it. Now, you can go get Lee Marks, you know, a guy that Kenny Dillingham really loved that came out of Boise State was really great, or you can go get a known commodity and a guy that we know that can recruit in Mike Hart. Either way, Dan Lanning's going to figure it out, because I think that Dan Lanning is one of the 10 best coaches in college football, which is a great way to segue into our next topic here on the number one college football show live. It's my top 10 college football coaches in the CFP era, right? So we're going to start at number 10. We're going to work our way up. Number 10 is going to be controversial because it's Deion Sanders, right? RJ, that man coached a team to go 4-8 last year. What is he doing on this list? He is the only coach in America who can move the needle by simply saying what he wants to happen. He has more sway than Kirby Smart, than Dabo Swinney, than anybody else in college football right now. That is why he is on this list. Add to this, all he did at Jackson State was win. Now, yes, Colorado is a step up. It is a tougher conference than the SWAC. But winning is winning. And he did that. Year one didn't go the way that he wanted to go. But still, we're talking about what Shedeur Sanders might do next year because Prime had an opinion about it. We're talking about changing the home visit to you visit me because Prime decided he was going to do that. He is changing the rules of college football by simply doing what he wants to do, and everybody's got an opinion about it. That is the kind of leverage you can't buy. He is increasing the number of people that want to be donors to Colorado because they apply to Colorado to go to school. He is going to be able to move this in a sport where the players are transient. Coaches, they stay for a very long time, especially if they're real good and they understand what they got. It's a really great job if you can do it. I think Deion Sanders has done more than enough to merit a mention on this list, 4-8 or not. Take a look at what Shedeur Sanders did last year, Travis Hunter did last year, and then take a look at the television numbers if you really want to pick a fight about it. Number 9 on the list, I got Dan Lanning out of Oregon. I'm so impressed with that guy because one of the things that we talk about when we're putting together this list was why now? Well, why now is Coach Saban decided he was going to retire in January, which means that there was a void left for who is the top dog as we see it, and is there been a reshuffling since Nick Saban decided to retire? Somewhat, yes, right? But Dan Lanning makes number 9 here. Even though he hadn't led Oregon to a conference championship, and even though they hadn't made a college football playoff, because he was the first call that they wanted to make when Nick Saban decided he wanted to retire. That's it. And you'll see that that's other guys on this list that also received a phone call, because that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about who's going to win the national championship. We're talking about they didn't call Kirby Smart. Now, you could say they didn't call Kirby Smart because he was already going to say no. I still call him because I'm in that business, right? I ask people to do stuff all the time only for them to tell me no, but they can't say that I didn't ask them, right? I'm always going to ask. Then you look at what Dan Lanning was able to recruit to Oregon, the kind of money that they're able to spend, right? You got Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore over there. You were able to keep your outstanding offensive coordinator, your outstanding defensive coordinator, Will Stein, Tosh LePoy, respectively, and you're continuing to build on that. And Dan Lanning wants it like Kirby Smart wants it. That's scary, given what Oregon is willing to do to go win football games. Okay, number 8 on the list, very quickly, Mike Norvell coming out of Florida State, what he was able to do in the ACC last year, going undefeated. Gave Florida State fans a win I never thought they would get, and it wasn't on a football field. FSU Twitter gets mad about everything, rightly or wrongly, mostly wrongly, but they were right to be aggrieved last year because that man coached that team to an undefeated season and a conference championship, was left out of 14 playoff. Mike Norvell did that. And because Mike Norvell did that, he was also a guy that got a phone call to be the next head coach to Alabama, chose to stay at Florida State. That's why he's on this list. Number 7 on the list for me, Brian Kelly, who is one of the winningest coaches in the sport, going back to what he was able to do at Grand Valley, right? But even so, he was great at Notre Dame, right? Coached them to the playoffs, coached them to some really great season, then goes to LSU, turns out a Heisman winner in Jaden Daniels, right? I'm not sure what the sauce is for Brian Kelly, but he knows what the sauce is because he's able to make it work north of the Mason-Dixon line, south of the Mason-Dixon line, coming out of Massachusetts. I have nothing to say but good things about what he's been able to do at LSU, especially given the circumstances. You just got to find a defense coordinator and keep a lid on defense. That's all. You know, don't give up 50. That's all you got to do, Brian. Don't give up 50. Go score 50. Don't give up 50. Number 6 on the list, Lincoln Riley. Ah, yeah, we were going to get there. You knew we was going to get there. All right. Lincoln Riley had the worst season that he has had as a head coach last year, had the reigning Heisman Trophy winner on that team last year. Turned out You can't win championships with a Heisman Trophy winner. But you know who knew that? Oklahoma fans. Oklahoma had two Heisman winners. Baker Mayfield, greatest walk-on of all time. Kyler Murray, greatest Texas high school football player of all time. No national championships. Then got a guy who won a national championship and Jalen Hurts to be his starting quarterback, finishes second, gets mollywopped, skull dragged, stomped out by LSU. Then, after you had gone into 2021 with Spencer Rattler to start quarterback, you give him the hook, you throw in there Caleb Williams, you go make it do what it do, and then we go into 2022, and my goodness, man, like, the way that he left after the loss to Oklahoma State will always go down in Sooner history as a day of great shame. However, he is one of the great football coaches in our sport. Given the talent that he can turn out, given the people that want to play for him, given the style of offense that he runs and that he is still chasing it. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but I have. They're on a tear recruiting. And he has added to that defensive staff with Danton Lynn, Matt Entz, and others, Eric Henderson. To put together a staff, I think he's capable of winning a conference championship in the Big Ten in year one. Can he put it all together with Miller Moss? We will see, right? But that's why he's number six on this list. All right, now that we got the bottom half, talk about the top half, right? Let's talk about the five best in college football. Number five on the list for me, Texas coach Steve Sarkisian. Another guy who got a phone call to be the next head coach at Alabama and said, "Nah, I'm good. I'm good at Texas." Wow. That was never in the cards for me because Texas was always going to be a tough job, right? They want you to win all the time, and it's not really capable of winning all the time because they want to win their way. But Steve Sarkisian was able to win their way last year. Not only did they go into Tuscaloosa and get a W, they won a Big 12 championship on the way out, made the college football playoff for the first time. Steve Sarkisian and Lincoln Riley both deserve to be on this list right where they are for what they're able to do at the quarterback position. Outstanding play callers, very imaginative in what they're able to do with scheme. And then they got defensive guys, at least to Texas, that can hold a candle to other offenses. Pete Kukowski was an outstanding hire for Steve Sarkisian, and they continue to turn out dudes, right? I think that he's in position to go into SEC play and compete for a conference championship. And he's able to do that in Washington. He's able to do that at SC for a little while. And now he's able to do it at the University of Texas after winning national championship as an offensive coordinator at Alabama, right? He's right there. Next on the list for me, the guy who actually got the Alabama job when everybody else got a call, Kalen DeBoer. Outstanding two-year run at Washington. But this is Alabama. And not only is it Alabama, I need to remind y'all that Alabama would get you up out the paint for losing to Auburn. The way that Ohio State fans look at Ryan Day going, we will get you up out the paint for losing to Michigan one more time. Try one more game. One more game, that's going to be what it is. Alabama understands. Alabama football is the economy in the state. Right? The Regents understand this. That is what Kalen DeBoer's walking into. And I think on its face, that's one that makes you one of the four most important, if not great, coaches in our sport. But it's going to be tough sledding in this SEC, given what he lost in the portal and what they're going to have to try to do in 2024 to be competitive enough to play and or win the SEC championship game this year. Number three on the list for me, Ohio State coach Ryan Day. I have been a tremendous proponent of Ryan Day. In many respects, I have been a tremendous defender of Ryan Day because his resume is ridiculous. It's stacked. He wins games. We're still waiting on him to lose double-digit games as the head coach at Ohio State. You know what C.J. Stroud was able to do. You know what the late Dwayne Haskins was able to do. You know what Justin Fields was able to do. Marvin Harrison Jr. is one thing. Garrett Wilson is another. You know, Chris Olave, another. You know what I'm saying here? And then the defense they were able to put on the field, to say nothing of being able to win in recruiting and to continue to add to that staff, guys that we know, guys that we respect like Chip Kelly. But Ohio State fans going, yo, RJ, what have you done for me lately? Because all I remember is the thing you're not saying. He lost to Michigan three times in a row. We don't let that happen. Like, that's not a thing that we get to let go. I understand. I get it. I understand. However, I don't know who you're going to get that's going to do a better job, right? And given what he's up against, when we're talking about Ohio State and Michigan being the class of the Big Ten for the last decade, get these newbies coming in with Oregon, USC, UCLA, and Washington, there's going to be a lot of defense here. You're going to have to make it come on with the come on. And I think Ryan Day is in a great position to do that. But one of the three best coaches in the sport to me. Number one, number two and number one on the list, we can talk about them both together. Dabo Swinney at Clemson, and then Kirby Smart at Georgia. Both of those guys have won two national championships in the college football playoff era. But one of those guys feels like the king of college football, Kirby Smart, and one of those guys feels like he's losing his grip on what the sport once was because he's refusing to adjust what the sport is in Dabo Swinney. This is a man who refused to go into the transfer portal, right, and would be very loud about that fact. This is a man who did not allow recruits to take visits once they committed to Clemson. These are things that worked before the portal. These are things that worked before name, image, and likeness, but that ain't the world we live in anymore, and you Clemson. Or to use Dabo's parlance, little old Clemson. You're going to be reminded that you are little old Clemson if you keep not winning the ACC championship. Because we already don't think that much of the ACC. We already don't think that much of you for losing to Florida State. And we already are ready to say maybe the Clemson era has come and gone, given what you lost. You lost your coordinators in Tony Elliott, Jeff Scott, and Brent Venables. Garrett Riley's still trying to figure it out. Wes Goodwin, we'll see, right? You got players, but you got to get it right this year or you might not be on this list next year. And then Kirby Smart, who went on one of the great two-year runs that we've ever seen in the sport, given what kind of competitive nature we have in it, how hard it is to win football games, to understand what he was able to do in 2021, 2022 at the state at Georgia, I think is remarkable because I remember a time when Georgia was They weren't as bad as Alabama once was, but you didn't expect no Georgia to win no national championship. Now, we all just going to pencil them into the playoff, and we all going to pencil them in the national championship game because that is what Kirby Smart has been able to do. It's his mountaintop right now. What I'm curious about going into 2024 and the expanded playoff is, can you defend it? We'll find out. Can't wait, man. Guys that put on this list that could have put on this list, didn't put on this list that I could have put out on this list. Kyle Whittingham, Lance Leipold, Kirk Ferentz. Think the world of Lance Leipold. I need him to win a Big 12 championship, right? Pulling for him. You know how much I like him. He knows how much I like him. That partnership he has with Travis Goff is ridiculous. Kyle Whittingham might be the great coach that we don't put into this list every single year because of what he's been able to do at Utah. Probably going to show up to the Big 12 and be really good. They've been basically great since 2008, right? Without any drop-off, really. And then Kirk Ferentz, who's just been a bastion of winning football. Not championship football, but winning football. They will win more games than they lose. And at Iowa, that's enough to keep you in the job if you are Kirk Ferentz, right? Nobody expects you to beat Caitlin Clark, although we would not mind if you did. Put it this way, because we're doing a show on live. Caitlin Clark put up 41 points against LSU. Do you know how many Iowa fans would lose their friggin' minds if the Iowa Hawkeyes football team managed to put up 41 points on an LSU football team that was giving up the booty to everybody last year? Overjoy. All I'm saying is, Kirk, let Tim Lester run up the score. Just let him sling the ball. That's all I'm asking. All right? That's my plea. Give the defense and offense they can be proud of. All right. Now let's talk more offensive football. Because I'm going to finish with the segment that I think is going to be fun. But it's about Arch Manning. And as with all things about Arch Manning, kind of loaded, right? So what I'm saying is Arch Manning will be a better quarterback than Ohio State quarterback Julian Sain, Alabama quarterback Jalen Milroe, Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola, and Oklahoma quarterback Jackson Arnold. Do you know why I'm saying that? Because he has to be. There is no room on this one. You don't get to be the number one overall recruit in your class and not live up to the billing without us saying, is he a bust? Think about how we talk about Quinn Ewers, who was also a number one recruit in his class and had a perfect rating according to the recruiting services that we all follow. He won a Big 12 championship, first time since 2009. He took Texas to the college football playoff, first ever appearance. Still don't know if he's a first round draft pick, and that means he's not living up to being number one. Add to that, Arch Manning's behind him. And Arch is part of the first family of football. And Arch had this really great high school career at Isidore Newman. And nobody's seen Arch in a competitive environment on a big stage ever. Yet, if he does not reach the potential of being a Heisman finalist, if not a Heisman winner, we're just not going to give him the benefit of the doubt. It's a shame because that's how it's made up. But you don't get to over-deliver as the number one overall recruit. That's not how that works. You can only underperform or meet the expectation. And I love to overperform. That's the thing. You want to underpromise. You want to overperform. He doesn't get to underpromise, and he doesn't get to overperform. That said, I'm saying he's got to be better than the guy that is pushing Will Howard at Ohio State, a grad transfer who knocked off an undefeated Texas Christian to win the Big 12 championship in 2022. I'm saying that he's going to be better than Jalen Milroe, who after getting benched, brought Alabama back from the dead and knocked off the unknockoffable Georgia by God Bulldogs. Okay, I'm saying he's going to be better than the tooliest quarterback in the 2024 class in one Dylan Raiola. I'm also saying, my goodness, that he is going to be better than Caden Proctor, than Dante Moore, than Ohio State safety Caleb Downs. I think what he can do is try to be a scout team All-American at Texas. Okay? And that's capable. Because Oklahoma's 2014 scout team was awesome. Baker Mayfield, Mark Andrews, Orlando Brown, Dorial Green-Beckham, and Nick Basqueen were on that team. If he can show out in 2024, put himself in position to win in 2025, I think we can be talking about Arch Manning being one of our better quarterbacks, and that would be, for me, a tremendous win. All right, that is going to do it for tonight's live episode of the Number One College Football Show. Our Number One College Football Show leads of screening are Jack Coakley and Torrin Westfall. They make us better in the film room. Additional support from Kiara Santana and Jim Cunningham put the special in our special teams. Producer Javion Duncan makes sure the recruits and the rivals see the cake we baked. Technical director Gabe Sable sends in the signal. Senior producer Catherine Cordaggi sees the entire field from the booth. Lead producer Kyle Wojak calls the plays from the sideline and the play snaps on my clap. We will be back on Thursday with our UFL show. Until then, stay low, keep those feet driving. Deuces.